Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, The Rainy Season and Autumn. And we're on text 10. The transliteration, Asan, they became, Utpata Gaminyaha, strayed from their courses, Shudra, insignificant, Nadyaha, the rivers, Anusha Yatihi, drying up, Pumshaha, of a person, Yata, as Asvatantrasya, who is not independent, that is, who is under the control of his senses, Deha, the body, Dravina, physical property, Sampadaha, and riches. Asan utpata gaminyaha Shudra nadyo nishushati Pumsho yata svatantrasya Deha dravina sampadaha Asan utpata gaminyaha Shudra nadyo nishushati Pumsho yata svatantrasya Deha dravinya sampara. Please chant. Vaishnavis. Translation purport. With the advent of the rainy season, the insignificant streams, which had become dry, began to swell and then strayed from their proper courses, like the body, property, and money of a man controlled by the urges of his senses. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, During the rainy season, many small ponds, lakes, and rivulets become filled with water. Otherwise, the rest of the year, they remain dry. Similarly, materialistic persons are dry. But sometimes, when they are in so-called opulent position, with a home or children or a little bank balance, they appear to be flourishing. But immediately afterwards, they become dry again, like the small rivulets and ponds. The poet Vijayapati said that in the society of friends, family, children, wife, and so on, there is certainly some pleasure, but that pleasure is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Everyone is hankering after happiness, just as in the desert, everyone is hankering after water. If in the desert there's a drop of water, the water is there, of course, but the benefit from that drop of water is very insignificant. In our materialistic way of life, we are hankering after an ocean of happiness, but in the form of society, friends, and mundane love, we are getting no more than a drop of water. Our satisfaction is never achieved, as the small rivulets, lakes, and ponds are never filled with water in the dry season. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sthaya Bhutaya Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tenam Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guru Vanavichari Namaste Shishinanda Shastra Shatana. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is pouring out all kinds of wonderful nectar. You know, most of us have been through many, many seasons, at least 40, 50, 60, some odd seasons, and we can relate to this change of seasons. We can understand when it's happening, we see it happening. And so therefore, it's so nice that the Bhagavatam is actually helping us to really understand so many things by using something that we can really relate to. We can understand that just like these lakes back here, until last year when we had those three heavy-duty days of rain from that Hurricane Debbie or whatever it was, they were dry, completely dried up. And sometimes in the summer they get down to nothing, you can't see anything. Then other times, you know, after big rain, it fills up, and now it's been filled for quite some time, but it goes down in the seasons. And so in the same way, here it's describing the swelling rivers and ponds, and this is compared to when in our life, things start going good. And we, you know, we got some money in the bank, and we got a lot of friends, and it's really looking good. And then what happens is that our senses also think, wow, this is the time to enjoy. And of course, that endeavor is there in full reign for the human being. Just as it's describing in that psalm that we read, you know, we're looking after sense gratification so desperately, but we're really never fully satisfied, not inside, not internally satisfied. And the swelling rivers, this time of goodness, is also kind of, I think of as in youth. We actually have, you know, our senses are like in their perfect performance. They can perform perfectly, and usually we don't have to worry about anything because the parents take care of everything. And we can just really think that now I'm going to enjoy to my utmost. But if you think about it, how many years did you really enjoy those years? I mean, how many years really was it? Wasn't very many, really. It was maybe when you were 13, 14, 15, 16, that was about it. Maybe, if you're lucky. And then it's gone. And the rest of the time, you can count the problems and the responsibility and the headaches and the dryness, completely parched at the tongue. I know that I was born into a pretty affluent family and had everything, and I was thinking in my youth, boy, you know, just go for it. And I went for it, and I tried everything. By the time I was 18, it was like, okay, what's next? You know, I've done all that, now what? And, you know, the list is over. And then, luckily, I started looking inwardly, tried to find some other happiness. But most of everyone else is still looking. Even at the age of great old ages of 60, 70, 80, they're still looking for that pleasure. And so we can understand that on the headlines of the weather station, there really should be severe warning. You know how they say severe weather, severe warning. Worldwide drought of pleasure. Really, there is. Nobody in the entire world is satisfied. Everyone is dry and thirsty for pleasure, but it's not going to happen just like it's describing here, a drop of water. You know, if underneath the weather station it said, well, okay, there's this big drought of pleasure, but we're gonna, there's a drop of water coming so you all can share it, enjoy, have a really good time in it, you know, go swimming, everything. And each one of us, our minds are thinking that, don't worry, there's not really any pleasure now, but there will be, and maybe I'll find it, and I'm going to get it. Maybe no one else will get it, but I'm going to find that pleasure in that drop. I'm going to do my back flips and back strokes in that drop of pleasure and have a really good time. But it doesn't work out that way. But the mind is thinking, yes, yes, I will enjoy. But it's all a post-dated check, as Srila Prabhupada has said many times. It's promises and promises, but it never really comes. And so some people think, well, maybe next lifetime I'll make it to a better place where the drop is bigger. Maybe it's three times bigger. I can really enjoy. So I'll do some pious work. I'll get some charity. I'll be a good doobie, and I'll get to go to a heavenly planet and enjoy there. But also that is very flickering, just like Govinda Das is saying. It's like a little drop on the water of a lily leaf. It's like super plastic. It just like, you tilt it a little teeny bit and it'll drop right off. I've seen it. We used to have lily pads at our ashram. And it's very tottering. So even in the heavenly planets, no matter where you are in the material world, the Bhagavad Gita says from the highest planet to the lowest planet, all are sources of misery. So it's already understood that you're not going to find it. You're definitely not going to find it. Although at some times it will swell up and you'll think it's so good. Maybe you've won the jackpot doing some, you know, gambling, or maybe your dog won the race or your horse won the race and it comes in, or maybe you're just a lucky stiff, you know? I can't quite understand what that means, a lucky stiff. I looked it up, actually. It doesn't really make much sense. But some people are actually lucky stiffs, and they win the $500 million lottery. And if you've read recently, in a week, they'll find a stiff from the person who won that thing. They actually find the person dead after a week. You know, he wasn't so lucky. And so it was tottering. He had that $500 million or a promise for it anyway, and then in a week, he was gone. So he thought he had it made. So this is the situation here in the material world. So don't bet on it. Don't bet on thinking that you're going to enjoy it. It's against our principles anyway to bet. But you're not going to win. This is just not going to happen. And if you do, it can be taken away at any second. As described in this song by Jharemana, it's durlabha. It's very rare, this human form. So why go gambling with it? You know, because you can lose it. You definitely can lose it. Here we are, right at the finish line, human form of life, where we can get out of here, and then we blow it, and we're back at the beginning of the race. It's very unfortunate. So we have to be convinced that we have to be very steady, just like if you've ever run a race, like sometimes you do that. When we were in high school, we had to do the 600 run and walk. Oh my God, that was so hard, especially in Miami. It was so hot. And so you'd kind of pace yourself, you know, and then because you know at the end you got to go fast if you want to beat everybody else, you know. And so you save up kind of your energy. So here we are, you know, the human life. Now we got to speed up. We have to accelerate our endeavor to achieve the real perfection, which is love for Krishna, pleasing Krishna. So we have to really concentrate ourselves in devotional service so that we can, you know, break through that finish line and break into Krishna Loka, go back to Krishna Loka with Krishna. But pooey on you, all you Hare Krishnas. You're so negative, right? You're always talking about how miserable the material world, how everything's a drag, and you got to control your senses, you can't enjoy everything, right, pooey. But Come on, in Kali Yuga, this is the golden age. It's swelling. It's the rainy season here. We've got it good. We've got everything. We've got entertainment at our fingertips. All you have to do is push those remote controls, and on your big screen, you have everything you can want. Or push this, push that. I think there's a saying that says, whoever has the most toys wins, or something like that. But whoever has the most remote controls, you know, on their desk wins. You know, I can push this, this, that, that. One woman just moved in the ashram the other day, and it was too hot for her because we're so cheap, we don't put the air conditioner on. And so she bought herself a little teeny air conditioner, and I was putting it in for her, and it has a little remote thing on it. You can't get up and turn on your air conditioner? I mean, my gosh, lazy, you know? You have to have a remote for everything. But this is, it's not going to assure that this golden age, this swelling, is going to turn into a big drought, and then you'll suffer again, especially after they consume everything. It's described in Kali Yuga, you consume, consume, consume. Pretty much, there won't be anything left, and you'll just have your infants to eat because there won't be anything. So don't want to hang around for that show. But Lord Chaitanya has said that all you really need to do in this Kali Yuga is to chant the holy names, and this will give you the satisfaction you're looking for, the inner satisfaction. Actually, I was inspired to look up the last verse of that Udila Arana, and this is what it says. It says, drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna, and thus satisfy the soul of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. There is nothing except the holy name within all the 14 worlds. So this, it's all there is, really. For the devotee, that's all that's left. That is the solution for everything. Earlier in that song, I think it says Ashodhi Maya, this is the medicine. So this holy name, it's a drop of nectar, but it's medicine. It's very nice tasting medicine. So we should guzzle it down by the gallons. You know, whenever there's an opportunity, just like the other night, you know, who could not miss the opportunity to come and hear Badahari and everybody singing and chanting, so nectarine, you know, you didn't want it to stop. So this is where we really get our satisfaction. But Krishna also gives some positive assurance in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that, yes, it's very difficult to cross beyond all these, you know, turmoils, the swelling and the receding of the waters and everything, but if one just surrenders to me, that's all. Just surrender to me, and you will cross beyond very easily. Just step right over all this misery. So we should somehow or other learn this art of stepping over this place of misery by taking to the process, like Govinda Das says, the hearing, the chanting, all the different methods that we're giving in devotional survey, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, so many different things, and take advantage of it. And then by this body, mind, and words, we'll begin to experience what that concentrated drop is like. We were reading in a Chaitanya Charitamrita with a bunch of ladies about Madhavendra Puri. It's so wonderful to read about his glories. Actually, it's a discussion of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. They're discussing between the two of them about, wow, this Madhavendra Puri, he was something, wasn't he? His devotion was on such a high level, remarkable, and they're just glorifying Madhavendra Puri's reaction, you know, the Kirchor Gopinath and the Gopal and the dreams and how he got benedicted with the sweet rice and how he got such favor. He was actually noticed by Krishna, so much noticed that he stole that sweet rice. Just like if you go around town, sometimes you'll see this sign in front of some building. It'll say, "We noticed." You know, they've fixed up something, they've repaired it, or they made it look nice, you know. And so in the same way, Krishna, he said, I've noticed you, Madhavendra Puri, because of his purity, because of his hearing and chanting, his sincerity. He's noticed by Krishna, and therefore he stole that nectar for him. And because Madhavendrapur, he actually, because of his purity, because of his sincerity and devotional service, because of his full surrender, other people noticed too. Actually, it was a problem for him because wherever he went, people would come around and say, "Wow, you're Madhavendrapur." And he said, "I got to get out of here, you know. Now that they find out that the deity has stolen stuff from me, I got to go." And by the time he got to Jagannath Puri, people already heard about his glories too. And there were crowds of people there too. So that was his little bit of problem. But he was Atmana Vedana. He was fully surrendered. He didn't have any desire for his own self. He excelled in devotional service. He no longer was running after that mirage, thinking that, you know, I'm going to enjoy that little bit of water over there, that little bit of pleasure. So his vision was very, very clear. But there are difficult times. There's the rising water. Sometimes when we do have some pleasure, some opulence, some benevolence in our life. But we should see that that's Krishna's arrangement, and that better be careful, because Maya might be lurking right under there. It might be some kind of a trick to think that, oh yes, now I'm going to enjoy. I had a very relevant experience when I was at the Jalungi in Mayapur. The first year I went, I had really gotten into it, and I bought myself a pair of so-called silver ankle bells, you know, the one that may make a lot of noise. They were like double ring, and I thought, you know, oh, I'm going to be a gopi, and you know, and everything. And anyway, I put them on, and I went to the Jalungi, and the minute I stepped in the water, they turned black. In other words, they weren't silver. They were some junky piece of metal. And so I thought, I'm going to swim across the Jalungi to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. Wow, this is going to be fun. So I'm swimming along, and all of a sudden, I get tangled in a fishing net. The ankle bells get tangled. And I'm going, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And I have to stop and have to go under the water and figure out how I'm going to, you know, that's fine little stuff. And those bells have the little rings. And I go, oh my, what am I going to do? And I couldn't get them off. And here I'm trying to keep up. And finally I just went there and just like, I ripped off about 10 of the bells. I don't know what I did, but I got free, luckily, before I drowned. Made it to Thakur Bhaktivinoda's house. But, you know, that's the thing. You think you're enjoying, and you get caught by the net of Maya, you know. She's just got all these little surprises for you. So don't get an illusion, you know, to think that, you know, okay, now it's going good. I'm going to enjoy. But that's not so easy. And then sometimes the waters recede, and then all of a sudden we get, Krishna takes everything away. You know, there's like a big reverse in your life, and you're suffering like anything. But that's the time. You know, for the surrendered soul like Madhavendrapuri, they'll listen to Krishna's message. Ah, now Krishna's trying to tell me something. And then, therefore, they could see the mercy. They can prepare themselves for, you know, whatever they have to go through and depend more on Krishna. And then they can enjoy. They can go on with their life and somehow or other, you know, stay afloat. So we're very fortunate. Here we are in Krishna consciousness, and the dualities are there, but we're enjoying that pleasure, that other drop, that concentrated drop of nectar of devotional service. And we get, you know, we get the pleasure now and then, but sometimes, you know, we lose it, and we wonder, you know, Nityananda, Lord Nityananda has opened up the flood house, it's described, of this nectar. But sometimes or other, how come I just got a drop? I want more. I want more. And so we have to really analyze, you know, why am I not floating in this, you know, self-realization and experiencing this pleasure? Usually it's because we're still thinking we're going to enjoy some of the other material enjoyment. We still think that, I'm just going to find that perfect mate. I've already tried a few, but I'm going to find that perfect partner. I'm going to get that little flat in Mayapur or Vrindavan, or I'm going to get out of my mobile home and get a real house. You know, we're still thinking that somehow or other I'm going to enjoy on some other level. But don't worry, those pass by, and as Nanda was saying in her class, that be patient. You know, these desires will fade, and they do. they end up fading, and we get a lot of realizations. And then we can understand that no sense running after them anymore. And then we can really concentrate on striving to please Krishna with real, sincere, conscious service. And that's what makes a difference, is the conscious that I'm doing it for Krishna. And we'll see that the reciprocation does happen. You can feel when Krishna is pleased with your service. It seems to just like flow, and you begin to experience that pleasure inside that you really want all the time. And so we should understand that if I'm not receiving that pleasure, then maybe I'm not really being conscious of what I'm doing for Krishna. Maybe I'm not being conscious that I'm grinding that sandalwood over there. It's going to be put on Krishna's body. It's going to be wiped all over his body. Or when I'm dressing the deities, I'm thinking of something else, and here I am right in front of Krishna, you know, thinking of some other crazy nonsense. So we have to understand that Krishna has like an inbox on his computer, and he sees that, oh, this person is, you know, he's sincere, he's got good intentions and everything, so let me put that over in, you know, some special draft, you know, save your draft or whatever you call it. And then some other times, you know, you might not be so conscious of Krishna. You're thinking, oh, I've been doing the same service for 15, 20, 35 years. I've been doing the same service. La-di-da-da-da-da. And just do it out of duty. Yeah, I got to do it because I got to do it. And then Krishna sees it coming in his inbox and goes, trash. Right? Or then New York Rath Yatra. Oh, my gosh, everyone's left. I got to do this service. You know, so-and-so didn't come to service and they're all enjoying, and here I am, I gotta do this. You're angry about doing your service. You know, why me? I didn't get to go. Delete. You know? And then over the years, we get very lazy. Oh, I don't feel like going to the temple anymore. You know, I don't want to do any service. I can give up that service. Someone else will do it. I'm too old. You know, I've had enough. And I'll just take a break. You know, vacation from Krishna. Spam, you know, he marks it as spam. I don't even want to hear about this devotee anymore, right? So we have to be careful that our consciousness, that our attitude is up there, is up there where it should be. You know, not that Krishna's going to give us sweet rice, you know, steal the sweet rice for us or anything like that, but he will reciprocate accordingly. Because this is bhakti, it's a connection. And if we're not connected fully, we're not really giving that bhakti, that love and devotion, then, you know, it doesn't rate as high, you know, so we don't receive that pleasure, and then the drop doesn't really satisfy us. But we should see that we have to really concentrate our service and become very happy in devotional service, and no matter what we're doing. It doesn't really matter what service we do. If we're doing it in the right consciousness, we'll be happy. Sometimes you kind of wish that you could just go wash pots again, right? And, you know, just take a week off and just wash pots for Krishna and just really do it the best you can and just enjoy some simple service, you know? And other people think, I just want some huge project to work on. That'll absorb me in Krishna. So it depends what will quench your thirst. But we have to quench our thirst. Otherwise, we'll run around and try to enjoy some other things again. But some devotees think, oh, lighten up a little bit. You know, don't be so hard on yourselves in Krishna consciousness. You got to have some sense gratification, right? You know, don't be so tough. Even the verse the other day, I think, was describing about brahmacharis, so, you know, hard on themselves and everything. So enjoy a little bit. It is true. We need some sense gratification. We need to enjoy. I mean, we have animal propensities. We have to satisfy in some way. But at least don't try to imitate the Goswamis, but follow their example. At least do it regulated and moderately. It's described, you know, if you have to, you know, go swimming, go to the, you know, enjoy, but you don't have to go every day and enjoy and get three jobs so you can take the cruise to Belize and do all these kind of things, you know. But just, you know, moderation, and gradually you will slowly get rid of all these desires and begin to realize that my really only pleasure is going to be in devotional service. And then you can make such quick advancement in devotional service and make it to that finish line. Otherwise, it would be a real shame to have to go back and start all over again. Even if we have to go back and start off where we left off, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, it'd be nice to make some leaps and bounds and maybe cross beyond this repetition of birth and death. And then by tasting that nectar of devotional service, we are inspired to go out and give it to others. Otherwise, we're not as effective. You know, if we haven't received that pleasure, then it's harder to tell somebody to come and chant Hare Krishna and to come to the temple and do some service if we're not enjoying the service ourselves. So we have to beg, borrow, steal, but get that nectar of the holy name, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying for. You know, please just let me understand that this is the life and soul of the devotee, to taste the pleasure in chanting and serving and pleasing Krishna. So that is a little bit about what we can learn from this rainy season, that we should be careful that when the going's good, that we make sure that we have gratitude for Krishna and use it in Krishna service. Prabhupada never refused money when it was coming in, a nice bank balance. He didn't refuse any donations. He used it for Krishna, and the next day was out there with his hand open for another one. So, but we have to understand how to see it and how to use it in Krishna's service. And in times when the waters are slow, realize that that's Krishna's mercy too. So anything to add to this or complaints? Yes, sir.
I remember Prahlad Maharaj Prabhupada was saying, he says, if you make a solution to one problem, you create 10 new problems. And I always thought of one of the ones that was a nice humorous one on that is in New York, around the turn of the century, from 18th century to 19th century, they had a terrible air pollution problem in New York from having so many horses. There was a methane problem. So when they came out with the car, they said, finally, now we've solved the problem of air pollution. Now there's no more horse methane being produced. So it created one or two other problems.
A little bit more concentrated toxic problem, that's all. And not only that, but it's created wars and worldwide wars and everything else, and everyone hating each other and fighting for no good reason except for toxins. Pretty crazy. Yeah, it's a good example.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. Well, one comment and a question that when I was in Cleveland, Radhanath Swami gave a class about the same thing, talking about those verses of Prahlad Maharaj and how we try to solve problems with material solutions. Mm-hmm. And another one that came up was the, I think they were called multifloral roses, which was supposed to be a natural fence that you just plant, and then you don't have to build fences. But then what happens was that they would kind of overgrow, and they would grow, you know, wherever they wanted to, and it turned into a whole problem. But anyway, and the other question was just how to be in the right mindset, you know, when you're doing a service that you've done for so long, how to stay just really fresh and really be appreciative of what it is that you're doing.
Well, I know I was making a braid for Radharani or something, getting ready to for the next day. And a god sister came by and said, do you realize you're touching Radharani's hair? You're actually preparing Radharani's hair. And I went, whoa. You know, and then my consciousness changed. So our duty also is to help each other remember. That's why association, also in the song, it says by the association of devotees, that helps us become more conscious, to remind each other, because we do forget, you know. I mean, some brave souls might say, you know, Krishna sends some lightning bolt on me, you know, to help me remember, but usually he hears those prayers. You don't hear the other ones, but he hears that one, you know, all of a sudden, boom, you get some heavy duty. You know, you have to suffer to realize that, oh, boy, that service, I wish I could have done it a lot better, you know. I wish I could do that service. Maybe it gets taken away or something. But if we just really rely on our God sisters, God brothers, and the books, and the association of the knowledge to help us remember, we do have to, that's why Nichim Bhagavata Sevaya, hearing regularly, helps us remember. Otherwise, yeah, we manda manda samateo, we forget, we're lazy and all that good stuff. You know, so we have to, you know, help each other. I think that's the best way. And then sometimes, but Krishna might take that service away. You know, like, eventually we can see, I kind of look ahead about 5 or 10 years, and I'm thinking, you know, like, I do the cut-up for the Sunday feast, and it's really not an easy service. You know, you carry everything out, you have cut it all, you put it away. I mean, it takes, you know, three hours or more hours. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes I get in that mood, why me, you know? And no one came to help, you know? But I think in 10 years, I'm not going to get to do that service. I'm going to be begging to find something that I can do because I'm just a sudra. I have to just do sudra stuff, you know? And my body is not going to be able to do sudra stuff anymore. And so I'm thinking, I just better be happy getting to do what I like to do now, you know? So, yeah, you can look a little ways ahead and think that, you know, some gratitude for getting to do what we get to do, you know? So, yeah, we have to remember. Yes, Tripitaka.
Very well. I notice sometimes when we're young, wealthy, and so forth, have opulences, and so the tendency is to become somewhat complacent. Not in every case, but a lot of us, you know, there's some complacency. How you advise?
I don't know. Whenever I feel like things are getting too comfortable, and I have like 3 minutes to sit down, I get kind of scared and think I should be doing something, you know, you know. But I it's a warning. When things get a little comfy, yeah, you should think, you know. So that's why we hear this knowledge. Like, there's a lot of good guidance in this autumn thing to be cautious, just like in today's verse. We should be cautious. And then if we do get in that situation, we should just figure out how I can increase my service. How should I increase my offerings? You know, now I've got a good bank balance. Maybe I should make my tithing double. Mukhya, like that one? You probably like that one. So. Okay, Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.